This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
So in 2015, we did a Branson version of the 12 Days of Christmas. And ever since then, people have been begging for me to do it again. Not true. Not one person has asked for it again. But you're getting it anyway, okay? So with all of the gifts that 2020 brought us here in Branson, we thought we should take a moment just to recognize a few of them. So I just put this little list together of 12 gifts we got, and just going to run through them quick. On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a 12-pack of Charmin Ultra Soft. Now, I'm not going to sing it like we normally. I'm just going to run through them. 11 people at a family gathering get you busted. 10 minutes late to the 10 a.m. service, thinking you'll still find a seat in the castle. Lying to the greeters. That was funnier at 8:30. But the conviction has set in on that in this service. 9 months of Zoom call meetings. 8 legs on the strip. 7 final seasons. Yakov is like a going out of business sale that never ends. So anyway, 6 feet apart. Sing it with me. 5 go-kart tracks. And they're voting on it today, which will make it a $4 trillion in stimulus added to the debt to burden our children. 3 new Supreme Court justices. Stop it! No, we're not done. 2 presidents-elect. That was funnier than you lying to greeters. I appreciate that. It's the same sin, people. Anyway. And a mask mandate that has us all hating each other. Okay, so that's it. That's the 12 days of Christmas. And that's where we're going to jump in. Oh, you were begging for it. Now, I wish somebody would have said try one. Anyway, talking about love today. And here's, if you've ever wondered, how are pastors or preachers trained? We're told that you're supposed to start a message with tension. So whether you're going verse by verse through a book of the Bible or you're doing a topical series, you should identify the tension right up front and then spend the message working that out. And 2020 has been a huge gift to preachers this year because typically we have to identify the tension, but not this year. This year, with all of the unrest politically, with the pandemic, racial tension. There's been tension. It seems every week something is added or something changes, and we can know what the tension is. And today, my voice is hoarse. I don't know. I just sang Oh Holy Night thinking I was Josh Groban. And let me tell you something. I ain't. And so this is not COVID. I belted it out. Here are the two types of people. And again, these do not have names or faces. They really do not. I'm not pointing out people or going, you know, you in the crowd. No, this is just two extremes that we see. So we talk about love and this part of Advent, looking forward to the Lord's return. And these two extremes, we're gonna meet right here with them. And the first one is this. It's Christians hating those who don't think and act like Christians. Today we want to talk about what it means to love the people of the world, but not embrace the systems, the values, the teachings of the world. Because that's the other extreme. The other extreme that I see in the church today are Christians who feel they need to embrace the values of the world to love the people of the world. And we're seeing this more and more. A pastor this week was asked the question, how come we don't hear sermons on hell anymore? How come when we go to churches and everything's love, 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 there's never ever a conversation about hell and people aren't preaching about hell? And I love what this pastor said. He quoted from that fiery Baptist preacher, Vance Havner, if you ever remember hearing Vance Havner. He preached on hell, trying to rescue people from it. And one of his congregation members came up to him one Sunday and said, I'm tired of all the messages on hell. Said, I need you to preach more about the lowly, gentle Jesus. To which Vance Havner replied, where do you think I got all my information on hell? Can I just tell you, as I know there are believers who are moving away from the doctrine or the teaching, our essential belief on hell, feeling you need to do that in order to love people. And you start reasoning, how can a loving God send anyone to hell? Today we're in John 3:16. A loving God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you so you don't have to go to hell. Some are like, if I'm going to love a family member or a friend who doesn't embrace my theology, what I believe about gender, what I believe about marriage, I should change that, embracing the values of the world in order to love that person. And the answer is no. No, you do not. In Luke chapter 2, we get this announcement. We've read it already in this season, but we've focused on two parts. I want to look at another part of this passage today, but it's the angels announcing to the shepherds, do not be afraid, I bring you good news. The Messiah is born. I bring you good news, great joy, and we like to focus a lot on the good news and the great joy, but today we want to talk about for all the people. We are a people of good news, we're a people of great joy, and we are to be a people, follower of Jesus who lives in the United States of America, we're to be a people for all the people. And today, this week, part of the tension and the debate, Beth Moore sent out a tweet, and it was her like most responded to tweet, articles going out about it. She called out Christian nationalism. And it is just the fight begins. We can't end 2020 without a good fight and giving us something to talk about around the Christmas table. And I saw people going against Christian nationalism, and I get and I understand that, but it's the whole idea of patriotism that they were saying, and I got this, you know, there's no love for the nation. I just want to tell you, it is perfectly okay for you to love your country. Perfectly okay for you to love your nation. Now, you better applaud on this next statement too. If you just applauded on that one, you better applaud on this one. It is not okay for you to love only your nation. Oh, that was forced. I'm sorry. I don't want to manipulate and force. But you see what's happening. And some are like nationalism, globalism. Listen, as a follower of Jesus, you're to have a heart for the entire world. I'm to have a heart for the entire world. I can love my country and I can love the people of the world. Didn't we sing this growing up? Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 16 through 21. And we're going to look at God's heart for the world. And I hope that today we all leave with our heart, with a heart that is growing for the world. In a time of so much tension and outrage and frustration and bitterness, that we would be reminded as a follower of Jesus what we are called to do when it comes to loving neighbors, loving enemies, and loving each other. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we read, "For God so loved the world." In your Bible, underline world or circle world, because we're going to come back and look at that word a little bit when we get through this text, "that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." Make sure we're very clear. We've talked about this. We are in between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. The first coming of Christ, Christ died. He offers the free gift of salvation, but make no mistake about it, we are now awaiting his second coming. And at his second coming, he will come in judgment on those who did not receive his free gift of salvation at the first coming. But for those, and this is what John is saying in verse 17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." This gospel is teaching us God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. This was the point of Jesus coming at the first advent. Verse 18, "Whoever believes in him," and this is the message we want for you at Christmas. We want you to hear, we want you to know the good news of Jesus Christ dying for your sins, that you can have salvation. This brings great joy, and it is available to all, not a spiritual elite, not a certain people group. It's not privilege for one nation. It's for all the people. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So this is the verdict off of verses 16, 17, and 18. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness. We looked at this week one. We looked at this, at the darkness that we tend to consult, and then we continue to live in the darkness, but we need to turn to the light, and the light clearly is Jesus. Instead of the light, because their deeds were evil, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Let's look at that word world for just a moment. For God so loved the world. The Greek word is cosmos, and it means order. Just for a fun little fact, this is where we get our word cosmetics. And I chuckled a little bit this week, and I thought to myself, every time you put on cosmetics, you are bringing order to your face. So just think of that the next time you're at the mirror, just bringing a little order. That'll probably become a callback for many of you. But cosmos is used a couple of different ways, a few different ways in the New Testament. It's actually used 185 times in the New Testament, 105 of those times. It is used by John. And think about how even this breakdown, 78 of those times is in this gospel, the gospel of John, 24 of those times in his epistles, and 3 times in the book of Revelation. And it has a couple of different thoughts behind it. The first one we clearly understand is God's creation. Cosmos is used to talk about God's creation, and you and I are called to enjoy God's creation, and we're called to care for God's creation. In John 3:16, it's used to talk about the people of the world. Some commentaries would tell you it's both, because you and I are created beings. So that's how cosmos is used there. But there's another way we want to see it used today. And if you grew up like I did at Independent Fundamental, Premillennial, King James Version, Only Baptist Church, we had a word called worldliness. We heard it all the time. Worldliness. And this is what cosmos means in that respect. And I have it in quotes because this is, I got straight from one of my favorite commentaries. It's the evil organized system under Satan, which operates through unbelieving people who are God's enemies. And what we're going to see today, and I think you see this happening, I think I see it happening on a regular basis. Christians have all of this jumbled up, and we're like, we're supposed to be not allowing this into us, and the best way to not have this in us, the values of the world, the system of the world, is to create attitude toward these people. You see the outrage online all the time. A desire to stand up for what you believe is a Christian nation finds you fighting with people and arguing and wanting to win against people instead of loving all of the people of the world and having a heart for the people of the world as God has for the world. And we read about this in 1 John. This is another way that John uses it. Do not love the world or anything in the world. This is where we got that term and that idea, worldliness. We don't want this in us. Why? If anyone loves the world, the ways of the world, the values of the world, the teaching of the world, what the world has to offer, the love for the Father is not in them. What does John say? We know and rely on the love that God has for us. For everything in the world, and here's the list, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So let's put this in perspective that we all would really walk out understanding. This is what it means. You and I are called to hate the ways of the world, not the people of the world. So let's make that the first distinction today. We're to hate the ways of the world. We're not to embrace the ways of the world. We're not to walk in the ways of the world. We're not to allow the ways of the world to influence us and help us make decisions for life, for work, for marriage, for family. And in this, so you've heard it, be in the world, but not of the world. I grew up not really getting that because I kind of grew up in a system and a church that taught me to avoid the people of the world. The best way to keep the world away from you is don't go to the world. We're going to keep you here at church as much as possible. Don't do sports. Don't have friends in the neighborhood that could lead you astray. So we were taught, but we need to understand, we avoid the ways of the world, not the people of the world. I don't cut the people out of my life. I want to see friends and family walking in light. Do you want to see your friends and family walking in light? Do you want to see your friends and family coming to faith in Jesus Christ? I do. And I want to be a witness to them, not avoiding them for fear of how they're going to influence me. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 15, John's gospel. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. I think this is part of the tension that we deal with. They're coming at us. They hate our values. They don't think like us. They don't act like us. And they hate us for the way we think, and they want us to change the way we think. So there's this hatred toward us. Keep in mind, Jesus said what? It hated me first. It hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You are here on a journey. This is temporary. This is for a short period of time. But this is not your home. This is not where you settle. And so that tension is going to be there. But this is what Jesus was warning us would happen. But here's what he wasn't saying. Jesus warned us that the world would hate us. He wasn't telling us to hate or avoid the people of the world. It's not at all what he was speaking to. So let's look at this, what it means. If there's been one verse that has been quoted this year more than Philippians 4:13 or Jeremiah 29:11, it has been love your neighbor. You've seen it hashtag, hashtag, hashtag. I'm doing this because I love my neighbor. My family's doing this because we love our neighbors. In Matthew 22, we get the great commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? You think through all the hundreds of laws, what would be the greatest? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. And you've seen this more in 2020 probably than any other verse. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says in verse 40, to sum this thought up, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. But what we've seen this year and what we need to be reminded of is there are a lot of different ways to love your neighbor. You love your neighbor in different ways than I love my neighbor. And we could do some basic or general ones, but we're going to keep it pretty specific to 2020. So it is a list. This isn't an exhaustive list. You might add something to it. You might take something away. We created a little bit of tension at the beginning. We're about ready to create more tension than we've had in a long time. So here we go. Loving your neighbor, wearing a mask. That's probably the primary hashtag you've seen with love your neighbor. I wear a mask because I love my neighbor. And what does that mean? If I catch you in public not wearing a mask, it's because you hate your neighbor. Because this is what's happening. You either do it like I do it, and that shows love. If you don't, oh, well, then you must not. And I'm just going, this is where we're at. Let's keep going. Canceling family gatherings. Do you know? And I'm going to keep it specific to our church. There are people in here, because they love their family and friends, who decided because of the underlying health conditions they would cancel a family gathering. That was one way to love their neighbors. We had other people in here that said, we are in no way, shape, or form canceling any family gathering because we think this could be the last one. I've been praying the Lord's return is between this time now and next year. So this could be the last one. So same issue handled two different ways. And if I can argue, I think both people love their neighbors. Okay, how about regathering at church? Oh, yay, yay. This one, the weekend we were getting ready to gather as a church for the first time in May, a friend of mine went on the news and said, we are not gathering for the rest of 2020 because we love our neighbors. I haven't seen him since. As soon as we get out of this pandemic, I'm going to punch him right in the face. But in a loving, kind way, it won't be mean. But isn't that something? The very same week, and that's why you probably saw I posted, I go, there are churches choosing not to gather in 2020 because they love their neighbors. And I said, we're gathering because we love our neighbors. And then let's go to this. Let's go where angels dare to trot. Posting on Blackout Tuesday. I did. You've heard me say I've used the take the knee illustration a lot, saying I believe we need to listen. And so I posted a blackout screen and just wrote over it, listening screams, you matter to me. You are valuable to me. Listening doesn't mean I agree with you. Listening, disagreeing with you doesn't mean I hate you. It just means you matter to me. That's why I'm going to listen. That very same day, I had a friend of mine, a strong believer in Christ, a leader for years in the church, who didn't post anything. He was going through a major surgery. He didn't have time to post anything. But then it started coming at him. Why aren't you posting? Because that's where we're at. I used to think just posting got me in trouble, but now we live in a day and age where not posting is going to get me in trouble. I'm just here to tell you, there's a lot of ways to love your neighbors. I'm going to go with this one because bearing arms, why not? We're in the Ozarks and a couple hundred of you in here have a gun right now. Do you know there are people in here that have a concealed weapon? Hashtag because they love their neighbors. You know that? And there are those of you, and not many of you, I don't know how you'd ever find comfort at Woodland Hills Bassboro Community Church, but who anti-gun. And I'm going, I can even go so far as to say, you know, we have folks in our church who have had friends, family members lose their lives getting in the middle of a neighbor's conflict trying to stop a fight, and it cost them their lives. I mean, there are people who carry because they believe it's their responsibility to help protect people. And some of you are going, when you were going to give a list on loving your neighbor, why can't we just take cookies to them? Why'd you have to go there? Ted, what happened to the fruitcakes at Christmas? That's how we show love for our neighbors. And I'm just going, this is just a portion of 2020. It's just a small portion of 2020. But I plead with you to get this next one. Your way is one way to love your neighbor, but it is not the only way. There's a lot of different ways to love your neighbors. I was accused in the summer of virtue signaling. And somebody came at me and I was like, well, I knew what it was, but I'm like, I better research this so I can be more effective at it. I haven't posted very much online lately because it's just been a very peaceful time. And so I went online, I started researching, and this is a basic definition of it. I'm sure there's a lot of different things you could add to this or take away from it, but here's just a working definition. If you Google it, is what you'll read. It's the action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments or actions, love your neighbor, intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue. And what we've seen this year is my position over yours. I'm doing this. I don't see you doing it, so you must not. Wow, that's a pretty big leap. But here's the cool thing. Jesus speaks directly to this. I mean, you can't be more specific with how Jesus wants us to deal with virtue signaling. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. Now, if you're wearing a mask to love your neighbor, that's great, and obviously we see that. And so you're going, so how do I practice this without you seeing it? No, we're going to see it. You just don't need to tell me about it all the time. You don't need to let everybody know how incredibly morally correct you are. Jesus is saying, if that's why you're practicing and you want everybody to be seen by them, if you do this, look what he says, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Why? Because the reward you were going after was to be seen by them. And Jesus is saying, if that's what you go into it for and that's what you get, if you do, no reward from your Father in heaven. In other words, love your neighbor and be very quiet about it. Go deliver a fruitcake and don't post it online. Amy and I, we joke about this quite a bit. When I do something nice for her around the house, I'll pause and go, should we get a video of this real quick? You might want to post this. If I say the right thing, I'm like, you want to put that out on Twitter real quick? I want people to know how awesome I am today. Hashtag husband of the year. You laugh because you're like, that's ridiculous. But how many times a week do we do that? I mean, how many times have you done something kind, it wasn't captured, and you had to reenact it? Okay, we'll do that again. We'll just do it again. I know. Okay, here we go. And you should be hashtagging reenactment. Happened a few minutes ago, but didn't have it captured for you to see and the world to see. Let's practice this week. Let's love our neighbors and be very quiet about it. And taking it another further, who are your neighbors? Your neighbors are people who are different than you. They can be difficult. They can be dangerous. They can be Democrats. They can be Republicans. They don't look like you. They don't think like you. They don't talk like you. Okay? Why don't we love someone this week who doesn't love us back? Some of you are in that marriage right now. You need to love someone who doesn't love you back. How about this? Care for someone who couldn't care less about you. That may take place around the Christmas table this week, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And where we're moving and where Jesus is going to take us next, love someone who hates you. Hate the values of the world. Don't embrace the values of the world. No way. But while doing that, we love the people of the world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That just makes sense. But Jesus says what? "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Now watch what he says. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Meaning, it doesn't take work to love a lovable person. It doesn't take work at a family gathering to grab that cousin or that aunt or that uncle that you get along with and go, "Let's just go over to the corner and have our own little conversation." That's easy. That doesn't take work. It doesn't take skill. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Jesus goes on. And if you greet only your own people, and we've said this, it's racism to love only your people. That doesn't mean you can't love your people. Love your people, but just don't only love your people. Love all the people of the world. Bottom line. Jesus says, but if you greet only people that look like you, that you're comfortable around, said, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? In other words, there is no skill required in loving easy to love people. It just doesn't take the work. But what we're talking about today, loving our neighbors, loving our enemies, and now loving each other during this season of 2020, I have my political opinions and I share with people and I talk to friends individually. I've done less of that online because just the hostility, just wanting to practice everything we've been preaching, right? Of peace and hope and joy and love. Everything that Advent is supposed to be teaching us and everything we're supposed to be waiting for. My heart, this is just me. So again, there's lots of ways to do this. And I know some of you have, God's calling you to do other things. But my heart has not been, how do we unite America? I don't know how to do that. I don't feel I have the skills for that. And I don't believe God's called me to do that. You may have a passion different than mine. I really, as soon as it hit, I don't think it was a decision I made. I just felt called by God. During this season, we have to be a local church, local. We have to minister to the needs of our local community, local congregation. We're not going to be seeing, how do we bring connection together? And then the division started. 2020, it's the mask. I'm telling you, in 2021, and you can put on that list, will be the vaccine. I'm not getting the vaccine. Some are going, I'm going to get the vaccine because it's not just about me. It's about my neighbors and developing immunity around the country. I mean, so it's going to be, and just like in marriage, right? The issue changes, but the same underlying issues are there. We're going to have new things to deal with. And I just watch brothers and sisters in Christ like going at it with each other. There are people in here that voted like me, and there are people in here who call on the name of Jesus who didn't vote like me. And some of you are like, camp out on that for a while. Bring it down a notch. Because what I'm asking you to do is love someone who didn't vote like you. Love someone who abstained from voting because of their conscience. Love someone who has a completely different opinion when the president or the president-elect's name pops up at Christmas. My concern has been believers in the church. We have people that are tuning in from Germany. We have people that are tuning in from Tanzania today. We have people tuning in from all over the world and all over the country, and we're glad you're tuning in. We love you. I don't know how to do discipleship or fellowship at a distance. I don't think it's something God's called me to, so I'm not excluding you. I'm just saying locally, but this applies to all of us, church at home and here, loving one another when we go at each other over the issues, because the issues aren't going to stop going into 2021. Jesus said in John 13, and remember, his prayer was for us to be one. Father, as you and I are one, make them one. And here's how you'll be known as a disciple of Jesus. A new command I give you, Jesus said, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Well, what homework for us today? What a great opportunity for us to begin practicing, for us to be challenged in how are we loving our neighbors? And we're going beyond cookies and cupcakes. We're talking about the big issues that we disagree on. Who will we serve this week? Who will we care for? Who will we be kind with? Who will we be patient with without posting online what we just did? Who will we practice love with this week? Here in the church, and that's why we said, if you have a need, we want to help meet that need. If you have you need a little something to get through the season, this is why the church body comes together. We read about it in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. All believers shared everything in common. We didn't hold our stuff to say, this is about ours. You haven't earned it. You need to work hard. We're here to help one another. We have practical, tangible ways of practicing what Jesus is giving us in this new command today. We can love one another. We can reach out. This is why we say, be generous. If you haven't given yet in the offering, man, give today. So that someone in here who's been struggling through this season, I'm looking at friends right now that haven't worked all year. They're just in a profession that's a very challenging profession. They picked up odd jobs here and there, but I know it's been a struggle for them. They've been deemed non-essential. Don't go have a conversation with them about essential versus non-essential. No, love them. Meet their needs, care for them, listen to them, right? Reach out to them. When it says we're to love the people of the world, this is talking about all the people of the world. We have the good news, which brings great joy for all the people, and that we would practice this by loving our neighbors, our enemies, and each other. That is my prayer this week as we head into 2021. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. I'm going to invite you to pray with me, and you know, we're going to end with a special, because I don't think you can end the Christmas service without country music. Can I get an amen on that one? And so somebody like Ted, there are other genres of music, but to be very fair, my wife found this song and wants it. This, if you remember from the CMA Awards, which I'm sure everyone watched, this song struck a chord with me, and so they're going to close with that, but we're going to close in prayer. Father, make us one as a church. As we talk about Jesus being sent into the world to die for the sins of the world, I pray for the one right now that is lost and living in darkness, that today would be the day they confess their sins. They repent of their way, of their system, of them believing what the world and the darkness has kept them in, that they would come into the light and they would trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they place faith alone in Christ alone. That they would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that he has been raised from the dead. I am grateful for this church. I'm grateful for this community. May we be a church family known for hope, peace, joy, and love for all the people. May we always, and not just from here, but through the missionaries that we support, may we be continuing to go and send and give money and resources to those who have given their lives to a foreign field so that the good news can go out to our neighbors around the world. May we have a love for our country, but may we also have a love for all the nations of the world. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, and everyone agreed and said,
full of war be peace. In a time full of doubt, just believe. Yeah, there ain't nothing different between you and me. In a time full of war be peace. In a world full of hate, be alive. Do somebody wrong, make it right. Don't hide in the dark, born to shine. World full of hate, be alive. In a place that needs change, make a difference. In a time full of noise, just listen. It's gonna be better living in a place that needs change. Make a difference.
In a world full of hate, be alive. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Oh, don't hide in the dark. You were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be alive. La la la.
That you can't win, slow it down.
Yeah, you only get one go around.
'Cause the finish line is 6 feet in the ground.
In a race you can't win, just slow it down.
World full of hate, be alive.
When you do somebody wrong,
just see black and white. In a world full of hate, be alive.